This podcast was recorded in January 2017, while the Children and Social Work Bill was being hotly debated.
Welcome to Helpful Social Work. Social work has the power to change people's lives for the better. This podcast aims to help you learn, think, and act with integrity so that people who need social work get help that will transform their lives. I'm Jerry.
I'm Joe. In this podcast, we're going to start looking at how social work is organised. The International Federation of Social Workers Code of Ethics talks about social workers ensuring that resources at their disposal are distributed fairly according to need. So the way that we influence how our structures and systems work is crucial. We've already looked at colleagues, and of course, organisations are made up of people. However, organisations also take on a culture of their own. Social work is uncertain. We can control how we respond, and we can influence how organisations work in uncertainty. The organisational response to uncertainty also strongly influences us. So we're going to consider how we relate to our organisation in this context of uncertainty. We'll look at the desire we have to simplify and control uncertainty, the way that leaders operate to run organisations, the way that organisational culture can be functional or dysfunctional, and the way that organisations cope with change.
So I'm going to start off with talking about a bit of advice that I had about leadership when I became a manager of other managers. It was actually written for me by my dad, who is a former management trainer. So these are some of the things that he picked out from his experience through the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s and 2000s in the post office. So you'll be expected to be on top of your job and to have ideas. And your job is to meet expectations and to constantly seek out and argue for better ways of doing things and even different things to be doing. There's a few things to bear in mind when working with people. So firstly, task, team, individual. Some of you will recognise that as Adair's leadership, action leadership model. Balance achieving the task, building the team and developing the individual. Some people will do what they enjoy doing. Others will do what they're good at and others will do what you check up on. So those are the three things to pay attention to. And let good people run. Don't interfere too much. And if they've got good ideas and they're successful, let them have the credit. He also talked about the importance of visibility, meeting everyone individually, but also spending time with people formally for reviews and appraisals and knowing everyone who works for you so that they know what you expect and also so they can see what you're doing for them. Particularly if you're in a position of authority and maybe getting paid more, you need to show why you deserve that. They're entitled to know why you're in that position. You need to know what's going on. You need to get out and talk to people. And no one, least of all your boss, he says, should hear anything on your patch before you do. And then the most important thing around kind of motivation is to give praise and credit for good work. Do deal with bad work quickly, but always ask for people's side of things before criticising, because there may be something you don't know. And above all, as a leader, try to make it satisfying for you and everyone else. So the work should be its own reward. Now, a lot of this within a complex organisation is actually about not getting in other people's way, helping other people and letting other people work well and having good relationships with them. So we need to build organisations that allow everyone to achieve an uncertainty, because the children and adults and families that we work with need to know that we can work in complex and sometimes chaotic realities, and they need us to bring learning and improvement to their situation, all the benefits that we can get from our organisation working well.
And I think some of the things that interested me in there, Jerry, was that idea that, you know, the families and the adults, children we work with need us to work in their complex and sometimes chaotic reality. And what they need us to do is really work well with uncertainty without mimicking that, because organisations that provide social work are working with unclear outcomes and consequences all the time. Our natural instinct is to try and control what happens, and so we build processes and systems to help us do that. There's some work by a man called David Snowden here in the UK, and he developed a Carnarvon framework to show us that we need to work in different ways depending on the kind of environment we're working in. And he suggested there were four environments: a simple environment, a complicated environment, a complex environment, and a chaotic environment. In that simple environment, which is normally tightly constrained, we can easily categorise things that happen and respond using processes, and it's actually right that we should. And when things are complicated and lots going on, we need to use more analysis and then respond. In complex environments, the situation is not clear. So we need to probe, work out what is happening, respond, probe, respond and probe. So we're really adapting and moving all the time. In chaotic environments, we need to act and see what happens, work out what the impact has been and act again and move out of those environments back into complex environments as quick as we can.
And I think what's really interesting is how organisations and individuals within them behave when things don't go as they expected. So if something does go wrong, which it actually inevitably will in a complex environment, or it will turn out not how we expected it to happen, we can put in more processes and put in more information, and that would help if it was just that we missed one of the elements in a complicated picture. But if actually the picture is complex and changing, picking up something that didn't work last time and saying, well, if we do this now, it will turn out differently, isn't necessarily going to work because something else might have changed. So there isn't really any room in social care for acting without thinking. Organisations need to give us support and engage with our work. They need to help us to reflect and to learn from what we do. And we need to all be able to have thoughtful, flexible approaches. One of the ways that we think about this is about different levels of analysis within an organisation. So Erin Preston Shute say that social work organisations need to analyse at level 3. So level 1 analysis is essentially an instruction or an order. You take a problem and you say, okay, don't do that. Level 2 analysis is more procedural. So yes, there's a problem. What we need to do is change the way that we address that issue. So for example, we should have a clearer procedure, we should have more training, we should create more records, we should audit more. And this kind of approach assumes that failure has arisen because of a lack of knowledge or guidance. And once we've got that, we'll be able to do the right thing. But it doesn't explain the fact that there's many cases where actually there is clear guidance and clear training, and yet the action still isn't done. The appropriate action for the situation isn't done.
Organisations can't prescribe what to do in every situation. Instead, they need to put in place the conditions that allow people to learn, experiment, reflect, and improve. And this requires both support and trust. A functional organisation allows the people in them to cope with uncertainty. Social work organisations are dysfunctional if they can pretend something is simple when it isn't, or that you can be certain when you can't be. In contrast, a functional organisation recognises that each new experience or situation is going to cause uncertainty and therefore anxiety. From the top to the bottom in that organisation, the ethos is to accept uncertainty and anxiety as part of the job. People say, I'm not sure what to do. I need to consider this. Because of this acceptance, it is possible to diffuse the anxiety and to be available to reflect. People encourage each other to try things out, to persist, to gain insight, and to reach resolution. Without an environment where it's possible to acknowledge uncertainty, the anxiety remains. People revert to fight or flight reflex and respond inappropriately. When things remain unresolved, they start to pretend the situation doesn't exist and that they're powerless to act. Gradually, they recruit other people to join them in this lonely, disengaged place. Within most organisations, there are pockets of inspiring functional behaviour and some dysfunctional black holes. People that admit to and accept uncertainty need to join up. In uncertainty, however incapable we are, we will all have good days and bad days. There'll be times when we feel out of control and we need to admit our anxiety. Otherwise, we will seize on any answer to reduce the anxiety, and we're only going to be lucky if it's the right one.
Yeah, so the last thing that I wanted to talk about really was about resilience within organisations, because we said the organisations take on a kind of life of their own, although they're made up of individuals. And resilient organisations, like resilient people, have characteristics of self-efficacy and optimism. They exhibit trust and support, as well as curiosity and appropriate challenge. And they look outwards because they've got confidence that they're trying to do something that's worth it, and they've got integrity. And resilient organisations are prepared to change when the facts change. And this happens through involving people and being open to their input. And you can see how that those kind of resilient characteristics and behaviours help to make a functional environment where people can be curious and they can ask questions. So every organisation has the capability to have a kind of perfect storm, a combination of events or circumstances that can bring it to its knees. It might be, in social care, a combination of difficult context, high-profile failure and sudden demand, and that can completely destabilise an organisation. So healthy organisations are able to keep an eye on what the bottom line is during those times of turbulence, and that's about being helpful to children, families and adults who need support. So whatever is happening in the context and whatever elements of dysfunction there are, they always come back to how can we be helpful and try and create a workforce that's able to be relational, active, supportive, empathetic and authoritative enough to make a difference. So functional organisations remain supportive of staff even when they're really under pressure, and actually especially when they're under pressure.
When we ask people to sum up their team purpose in one sentence, one of the best ones we heard was, "We find families for children," from an adoption team manager. And she went on to talk about the fact that when she'd started working with her team, they had said that they found children for families, and she wanted to turn that on its head. We've also worked with groups of people from areas and asked them to describe how the area would be if all their teams and services fulfilled their purposes. They came up with ideas like people being out and about in the park, having children play safely in the streets, neighbours talking to each other.
So people who need social work can experience organisations, you know, the council, social services, whatever, as impenetrable, impersonal and inflexible. And if we're not careful, we can add to that by seeing them in that way ourselves and presenting them as very complex and ultimately sometimes chaotic. But if we recognise that uncertainty is part of our work and we approach situations with confidence in what we've learned and with the support to respond flexibly, then we'll always hold on to the potential of social work to make a difference to people's lives. So there's a couple of reflective questions we want to finish with. So the first thing is, what am I, my team and my organisation here to do? Is it the same thing? And also, what do I do when I get anxious about uncertainty? How can I respond in a way that's helpful for myself and for those around me?